This is a podcast by The Straits Times.
What we see is actually on the interview stages, usually people with a positive attitude, and they really explain the details about why they are actually on the career break, and they even mention what they are doing during the career break, which is something that they really use it as a very positive mindset of upgrading their skills and doing networking. And it's actually something that corporate wants to see from the person, which is a growth, although they are still actually on the career break.
You're listening to Career Talk. Every second Monday of the month, The Straits Times helps you put your career on the right footing from the outset. I'm your host, Tay Hong Yi. At the best of times, making calculated career moves to meet your financial and professional goals is hard. It is doubly so when one is returning from a career break. That's why we've gotten in a guest who has helped guide numerous returnees to the workforce along the way. She is Ms. Vivek Sendata, Senior Regional Director for Manpower Consultancy TalentViz, who has 15 years of experience under her belt. I'm pleased to host you here in our newsroom, Vivek.
Thank you, Hongi.
So, Vivek, let's just dive into this topic. So, I understand you've placed about 200 candidates returning from career breaks just since 2019. And this is, of course, encompassing the COVID period. What are some reasons you've seen people go on career breaks for? And what are some reasons why they then wish to return?
Mostly the reason for the career breaks are from their family cares. And usually it's because of there's a childbirth or also to take care of their elders, especially also during the COVID time. And also health issue is also something that they really take care after the COVID period. And some of them actually also pursuing an educations or travels. Or some of them even have burnouts. During the COVID time, we are working from home and everyone is working for like almost 20 hours a day. So it's really a burnout for them. And some of them is because of the dissatisfaction with the current jobs, desire for personal goals or personal growth or a career change. So it's really different story from everyone, but mostly, yeah, those are the reasons for their career breaks. And you mentioned about the reason for returning. So mostly because they do need some financial needs. They also have a passion for a specific fields. They desire for a career advancement. And they also need some skill developments during the breaks.
So then in what kind of situations are the career breaks hardest to return from?
Okay, so the situations for the career breaks, the challenges mostly is because they have a skills gap. Like the industry is really like a rapid changes and it's with the outdated knowledge or lack of recent experience, it's actually a gap for the career breaks to return. And also a network gap. Since, yeah, a lot of people, especially in the sales area, they lost connections. They have difficulty to re-establishing themselves in the professional networks. And some people also facing balancing work and personal life issue after the career break. So they have difficulty to integrating back into the demanding work schedule, especially for those who need caregiving responsibilities.
So in those situations, how do you help to guide them towards getting back into a role that is acceptable to them in your experience? Because you've placed about 200 of them already.
Yeah. So what we actually advise those career break, they need to actually really need to set up what is their clear career goals. So they know what is the direction. And they can actively seeking the opportunities, can be through us or they can also apply through the job portals. Then we also actually suggest them to do skills developments and to see where there is a gap on their knowledge and look into some courses or to learn. Other thing is we also ask them to proactively do more connections to especially the people in the same fields and giving a positive attitude, a resilience, adaptability, and willingness to learn and adjust with the new things, because it's been a while during the career break. And of course, yeah, we do actually see this impact, and it helps a lot for those career break to get a new jobs.
So then, inevitably, I would imagine there are some people who come back from a career break and they have quite high expectations. They think they can pick up where they left off right away. How do you manage their expectations? What do you tell them, you know, in those cases where their expectations might not be able to match the sort of reality that is on offer for them?
Yeah, we do actually give them some insights about what's going on in the market now and what are the changes and what is the difficulty and the gap based on what their expectations. And they do really understand. And yeah, they can actually manage their expectations, which is, of course, it depends on the current market situations.
Yes, and I imagine also it depends on the sort of the length of the break, right? For the longer breaks, the longer you are out there on a break, for whatever reason, the harder it is to break back in and the harder it is to also get that sort of salary progression. But having said that, I would imagine that there are some of the people who are in this situation can somehow still resume or even accelerate their salary and career progression after the break. For those people who can just pick up where they left off, what usually distinguishes them from those who can't?
What we see is actually on the interview stages, usually people with a positive attitude, and they really explain the details about why they are actually on the career break, and they even mention what they are doing during the career break, which is something that they really use it as a very positive mindset of upgrading their skills and doing networking. And it's actually something that corporate wants to see from the person, which is a growth, although they are still actually on the career break. And this is the key points to come back to the workforce.
Yes, and to come back and do so well right after as well, right?
Yeah.
So then, are there certain types of functions where this is easier to achieve? And are there certain functions where this is more difficult to achieve this sort of outcome where you can equal your last round pay or you can even get better than your last round pay?
Yeah. So from my experience from the corporate side, they will see there's a gap on the CV, right? So it did make a difference. But if we can explain and we can actually inform the corporate side to explain why is the break and the work history, and then the skill gap as well, it's actually something that you should actually understand and to know what is the corporate needs from the current market. Yeah, I understand there will still a really difficult situations from those who don't have a career break based on the CV. But yeah, it's just a matter of how you explaining yourself and how you really show that this career break is really something that you need, and it gives you a stronger back to the workforce.
So let's say if you're someone returning from a career break or wants to return from a career break, but the job market is in a bad state, there's a downturn in the job market. Do you suggest these kind of candidates just stay a bit longer on their break and wait for the market to recover?
Of course not. If we see the market is not really aligned or not really supported on our career, we suggest to have a career switch, which is something that we should do as well as a human beings. We should be agile. We should actually follow what is the trend, the market. For example, AI is actually some trends, right, in the market. That's why we really need to also know how to use it, how to actually upgrade our skills in terms of in AI. This is actually some new things that we need to upgrade our skills, and it's the new market trend right now.
And usually the candidates are quite understanding that the market has moved and there are skills gap. Have there been cases where you have had difficult candidates who don't understand that gap? Then how do you manage that sort of situation?
Yeah, we have some difficult situation where the candidate still really insists to go with their expectations, but the reality is not what he's thinking. So that's why we really need to really showing the evidence, the fact, and yeah, to let the candidates know that this is what are the market trend. Even we did also share the market salary range for these positions, and of course we cannot expect to be like the same like the previous one.
So switching to the employer side of things, right? Do you see any differences between the multinationals and the small and medium enterprises, the SMEs, in terms of how ready they are to accept someone who has gone on a career break?
Yeah, there's a big difference. For SME, they have a limited budget because they're still small. But for MNC, they really are looking at it differently, and they're willing to accept and giving a more opportunity for career break talents in the market. And they need a huge or a volume kind of manpower or talents to be their a successor, right? To be a talent pool in their organization.
For succession and renewal.
Yes, yes. So that's why it's for MNC, they tend to accept different industry or even different backgrounds, but they are more into the characters, the attitude of the candidates.
But I would imagine this is more for the corporate roles, right? Rather
yes.
than the technical roles.
Yeah, it's more on the general roles that, for example, like HR, finance, those who are actually quite similar in every industry. But of course, a very niche technical kind of talents is also very, very rare. And usually our clients, our corporate side, they will want someone in the same field. So that's the differences between SME and MNC. Although I know SME, because of the budget issue, it will be also a good opportunity for junior candidates who are actually willing to go with a lower budget, but they want to grow and to learn more.
So actually, both what it sounds like to me is that both SMEs and MNCs have their own advantages that work for career breaks. Or rather for candidates returning from career breaks. It just depends on which is the aspect there's more emphasis on. Do you want to enter back at a corporate role with your existing skill set? Or do you want to really learn very quickly and you're willing to take a pay cut for the sort of exposure, for example?
True, Hongyi.
Yeah. So what I also understand is you yourself have also nearly gone on a career break. What do you want to go on the break for? And you know, how did you consider the different factors, the thought process? Because I think that is very helpful in demonstrating what people have to think about to people who have not considered this before.
For me, myself, before I joined TalentFizz, I was actually thinking about a career break for my master's degree. That's more because I thought it's a good timing for me to upgrade and to learn more things, to network with more people. But it turns out I joined TalentFizz, and in this field, I also can learn a lot from, and I can still doing the same thing. It's just that the degree is not there. Yeah, so it depends on what do you want for your career goal and what is the purpose. If you think that you want to learn new things, to network with new people, then of course, there's a lot of ways to do it. I mean, for career break, it's really something that need to really consider, because there is an impact and it will be different with those who don't have a career break. But of course, if the situation is the best for you to take the career break, just go for it, because everyone has different way of finding purposes. You can also find the purposes through the career break. You can also actually relax, take a time to think more about what you really want, and then take a new steps and learn new things, then go for a better life.
So then on that note, in your work currently, what's the longest career break you have had for a candidate that you successfully placed?
The longest one is actually 5 years. It's because she needs to take care of her family. Yeah, she needs to take care of the newborn. And yeah, I understand, because I'm also a woman. I know what is this difficulty as a woman to really do a balance between work and also family, right?
And when it comes to breaks that are this long, 5 years, What are the strategies you usually go through to help place, and you know, what was ultimately the outcome, if I may ask, for this example that you cited?
Yep. So I did ask her on during this 5 years break, what are the achievement or maybe the growth that also she has done. And it turns out she's not only like to be a housewife, but she also learned new skills, new things. She also takes some courses. She learns how to be a fully moms, and it's not easy. And it really like bring her to the next level of a new passion, a new way of looking things. And I actually mentioned about this to our clients or the corporate side. They did understand, and they really value a returning working mom who has been through 5 years of taking care of her family.
Because they think that sort of growth can translate to the workplace, right? But yep. What line of work, if you don't mind me asking, what sort of role was that for?
It's actually an HR role.
Okay.
Yeah, so to be an HR is something that you really need to be also taking care of a lot of people, right? Then with this kind of examples, she has the experience as HR before, which is 5 years ago, but she can show it that she's still updating with the new skills. She still know what's going on in the market, and she understand HR field better than someone who already in the HR field for a long time.
And on a personal level, to have to deal with that sort of emotional stress, right, of motherhood.
Yep.
I think that also shows a certain level of maturity that I think corporates might value for this kind of very people-centric job as well.
True.
And this is actually a very good anecdote, because it is very timely for us to be talking about this when International Women's Day is actually coming up, which falls on March the 8th. What are some key challenges you see female employees face that have caused them to compromise on their career aspirations? And what do you think both the employees themselves and their employers can do to address these challenges?
Yeah, the challenges for women is still there. I'm also a woman, and yeah, we have family. We need to take care of family. So mostly the lack of access for us to taking care of our family, for our kids. And yeah, that's what a woman is now facing. It's the same difficulty for those who maybe also a single parents, even if for us, we also taking care of some of our parents as well. Yeah. And yeah, some still are, of course, from the employer itself. It's more on the, we need to have equal opportunities for both female and male, and to see more on the impact on their family as well. For us, we do see still have a limited access to career for some women who has kids, or maybe some who have newborn. From the corporate side, they might think, oh, this candidate might not be able to give 100% to contribute. It's just a judgment. So it's really not fair. And it will be great if on the corporate side, they also actually think differently and give more chances to female employees. And I can see a lot of actually high-level positions is also from female. And they are really doing well because they do have family, and they know how to take care of the organizations from the family kind of approach. Because yeah, a lot of candidates, they really needs a balance between family and on the work side.
So what about for the employees themselves, right? Because we've been talking about what employers can do.
Mm.
Employees in that position, female employees returning to the workforce. What do you think, what are some tips you have for them so that they can still get good career progression?
Yeah, for based on my experience, for female employees, you can be different. I mean, yeah, you can have a good career, although you're also taking care of family. It's just that how you manage your time and how you manage the balance between work and family. And I understand it's sometimes quite difficult to take this balance, but We need to really see, like for me, I also need to take care of my family, but I also need to travel. So then I just actually like really manage the time well between the traveling things and also taking care of family, and really show that you are different, although you are actually a woman, but you can really contribute and you really show your best effort to the company. Yeah.
So on that point about showing the best effort, something that people talk about frequently outside is about the sort of the thorny topic of appraisals, right? How do you appraise a working mother or someone who went on maternity leave against someone who was there for, you know, the whole year, for example? So in those cases, how can companies balance between appraising someone, you know, who was there the whole year and contributed the whole year fairly versus someone who, but then also not unfairly penalize a working mother who went on maternity leave? Do you have any thoughts on this topic, especially considering the season right now of International Women's Day?
From the employer's perspective, we do understand there's a certain KPIs, right, from the candidates or from the employee. So from my experience, I will not take the personal things or those that impacted to the appraisal, but I will focus more on the KPI, which is the result of the work. So everyone can actually, they have their times. They even employer, I really appreciate employer who give a flexibility time to female employees for them to also taking care of their families. And I do believe they will also contribute more if they are appreciated. And with this flexibility time, they will really appreciate the timing that they can actually spend for the family and at the same time also for work. And I understand this because I do have experienced this before, and I really give 100% to really giving my best, because my direct report really giving me flexibility. He did trust me 100% for what I'm working with, and he did also give a flexibility for me to do family related works.
And I think that's on a very good note for us to just end off this podcast. That was Ms. Vivek Sendata, Senior Regional Director for Manpower Consultancy Talent Fizz. Well, that's a wrap for this 12th episode of Career Talk. I'm Tay Hong Yi. If you resonate with the points raised, do share this podcast episode with your friends and family. Please feel free to share your experience returning from a career break with us. You can also get more career and personal finance tips in the latest edition of ST's Head Start newsletter. We have all the links in our show notes too. I'll be back on the second Monday of every month with Career Talk.
Send your feedback to podcast@sbh.com.sg. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or within our Straits Times app. Thanks for listening.